Colossians chapter 3, it seems like it's been forever since we have been able to get back to Colossians. Was able to sneak in one Wednesday night service in the midst of all of this melee and weather, and with people being sick and then the weather, it seems like we need to put on name tags and get refamiliarized with everybody. And then you're pastor out preaching this past Sunday. Man, I missed being here so bad after the weather being like it was for 2 weeks and not being able to be here. And then the obligation that I'd already committed to. So Colossians chapter 3, I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad you're here as well. Colossians chapter 3, we have talked about a few things from Colossians already, and we'll certainly not go back and rehash those things. Let's see, there you go, brother, is that better? Got it. Sorry about that. I've been preaching a meeting, and they always handed me this thing already on and told me not to touch any buttons. And said, you see how long it takes to reprogram me, brother, I'm sorry. But we're on now. So we've had a few sermons already in Colossians chapter number 3. We've talked about the believer's union with Christ now. Thank the Lord for that, and for all eternity. That covers the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3. Verses 5 through 9 of Colossians chapter 3, it talks about we are exhorted to, we're encouraged to live godly and forsake the earthly. And may the Lord help us to do that. In verses 10 through 17, which we'll begin with tonight, we may or may not get through all of those verses. We have talked about several things in the past sermon, verses 5 through 9, about some things that we are to put off. And now there's some things that we are to put on. And so we're to put off the earthly and we're to put on the godly. So I'm going to read several verses 10 through 17, and then we'll pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and we'll just get as far as we can. The Bible says in verse number 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible and thank you for the opportunity to read this portion of Scripture in our hearing this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you would help us for just a few moments to expound and elaborate on these verses. Help our hearts to be encouraged and strengthened from your word. And I pray you'd help us to apply the word to our hearts and our lives and take heed to what thus saith the Lord. I sure need your help tonight. Pray you'd use us to be a help to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're talking about some things to put on. Verse number 9, I'll read it just to get into verse number 10. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." So we have put off the old man, verse 10, and have put on the new man. It's important to put off the old man, but it's just as important to put on the new man. And the Bible says, "Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So putting off the old man with his deeds is in and of itself simply not enough. We must also live in the new man, and the way that we do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And so the new man is Jesus Christ in the believer and the believer in Jesus Christ. What a position, what a place to be. That's a blessing. And so this, in the new life of a Christian, Jesus is the boss. He is the chief. He is in charge. He is the pilot. He's not the co-pilot. Amen. I hate seeing those signs on the front of cars that says, "God is my co-pilot." Well, you're in the wrong seat, buddy. You need to move over. And so I'm glad the Lord is the pilot. He is large and in charge. And so we are to put on the new man. Now, the book of Ephesians, come to Ephesians chapter 4. Hold your place in Colossians. We're going to be going back and forth several places this afternoon. The book of Ephesians speaks about this new man, putting off, putting on. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. The Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation. We understand the word conversation here in this context is speaking of our lifestyle. So that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, I believe that the Bible still teaches that salvation will change you. I am sick and tired of this new modern day Christianity or whatever it is that we're amongst in the day and time that we live. I think if a man gets things right with the Lord, gets his heart right with God, there is a change that takes place in his life. And so the Bible makes mention here that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Here's why you put that off. It's corrupt according to deceitful lust. The next verse goes on to say in verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so we see in this passage here, we see in the verse here, the new man is after God. The new man is a product of the new birth. He is a product of God's power, amen. And the creation of the new man, God did not repair the old man. He created a new man. And so that new man is created, the Bible says, in righteousness and true holiness. And so we're to put off that former conversation. We're to put off that former lifestyle. We put off that old man. We put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. That's a different life. And this crowd that is drinking and drugging and partying and living in fornication and adultery and then getting up and saying two words about Jesus and all the world goes crazy that they're for God. No, they're not. They're making people twofold more the child of hell. Amen. And so that's my free commentary for tonight. We'll move on from there. But I'm telling you, our world's in a mess. The Christian community is in a mess. God's not in a mess. But people who claim the name of Christ, a large majority of them, have fallen prey to the wiles of Satan. Amen. And so God created. We are created in righteousness and true holiness. You're in chapter 4. Back up to chapter 2. We're still in the book of Ephesians. God created. We're created in righteousness and true holiness. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10. You know the passage. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It didn't say we were created in Christ Jesus unto ungodliness. It says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. Amen. And so there are at least two places where this new man in the Bible is referred to as a new creation. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know the verse well, but I like to read them. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, now we've talked about this truth already. We're in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, you've heard this before. I've probably said it before. I've heard it over and over and over again. And it's still true. If there is no change, there's no convert. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that you're going to be sinless. But I promise you, when something as big as the Holy Ghost takes up His residence in your heart, there is some changes that take place. And if there is no change that takes place, there's no salvation. You're welcome, amen. I know that this is a controversial subject in the day and time that we live, but that doesn't make it any less true. I understand that every believer doesn't grow at the same pace. I get that. And I understand that there are some who never spend any time, they don't have any biblical background, and so they mature, grow at a slower pace. And I understand that you can fall back into some things. We saw that happen in Peter's life, other than Lot's life. We see that in the Bible. I get all of that. But if you truly get born again, there's going to be a noticeable change at some point, amen.
You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're no longer a child of hell. You're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a son of God. Amen. Now, this change, it doesn't have anything to do with your outward as far as your size, your hair color, your bank account. None of those things changes. What changes is the fact that you stop following the lust and the desires of your heart and your flesh, and you start seeking after the things of God. Amen. Yeah. Something changed in my life when I got saved. And I don't say these things because something changed in my life. I say these things because the Bible says things change in your life when you get saved. Now, your life is completely changed from the inside out. Come to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. You know what is sad is that we're living in a time when this kind of preaching is controversial in the day that we live. Mainstream religion wants nothing to do with preaching a changed life. They want to continue to live the same way they've always lived and tag Jesus onto it. It don't work that way, friend. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 15. The Bible says, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Notice the phrase again. But a new creature. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile or whatever you may be as far as your nationality is concerned. When you get born again, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Come to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you are a new man or a new creature, a new creation, there is a newness of life. I'm not making it up. I want to read it to you right from the Bible. Look what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, this is not talking about water baptism. There have been millions of folks who've been baptized in water, and they're no more saved now than they were before. Amen. They're instead of a dry sinner, they're a wet sinner. Amen. They're not saved. They don't know Jesus just because you've been baptized. This passage of Scripture is talking about being baptized into Christ. So the Bible goes on to say, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, now don't miss it, should walk in newness of life. And so our old life is put off. When the new man is put on, we should be walking in the newness of life. There ought to be a new life. You get born again, there should be a new life. Amen. It's not a sentence to continue in the old life. Supposed to put off that old man. Put on the new man. Now come to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. If you are a new man or a new creature, there should be a newness of spirit. So in Romans chapter 6, in verse number 4, we see that you should walk in the newness of life. Look what the Bible says in chapter 7, in verse number 6. It says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. Now, I want you to notice something about this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice that spirit in this verse is not capitalized. That means we're not talking about the Holy Spirit in this passage of Scripture. We're talking about our spirit. We have a new spirit because we are a new creature. The Bible said in chapter 6, in verse number 4, there's a newness of life. In chapter 7, in verse number 6, there is a newness of spirit. And so if we are a new man, a new creature, we should be serving in the newness of spirit. We have a new life God has put within. You shouldn't have the same spirit you had before. You had a negative spirit, a contrite spirit, a spirit that was contrary to the things of God, a spirit that sought self-gratification. And now you should have a newness of spirit, a spirit that is after the things of God. Come to Psalm 40. So we see in Romans, we see the newness of life, we see a new spirit. You ought to have a new song. You want to make Christians mad? Start talking about their music. Let me change that. You want to make religious people mad? Start talking about their music. Everything that is labeled Christian is not Christian. The Lord's given us a new song. Look what the psalmist says. Psalm 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. What's shouting grounds? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Has He done that for your life? He's done that for my life. I'm not in the same mire and sinking sand that I once were. I've been brought up out of that mess, amen. And He heard my cry, and He brought me up out of that. And He didn't just bring me up out of that. I'm glad He did. But I can stay with the psalmist, just like verse number 3 says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. You know what that song is? Praise to our God, amen. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. I don't see a lot of people run into Jesus from this new, modern, contemporary kind of whatever music it is that they want to call that garbage. I'll tell you what kind of music takes people's attention to the things of God. It is music that uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of this music I've heard people have sent me, you can't tell if it's a love song about your boyfriend or girlfriend or if it's about Jesus. It ought to be very distinct that we're talking about the Savior and the Creator of the world, amen. Amen. He put a new song in my mouth. It's praise unto our God. And many will see it. And when they see that, they'll fear. Not you, the God you're singing about, amen. You know, my wife got saved when someone was singing a song. And the song that they were singing had to do with a secret place in my heart where I would not go. And the Lord has the ability to clean that heart up, amen. And so music matters. And there's a lot more in this chapter about music. I don't know that we'll get down to it tonight, but it is in this section of Scripture that I just now read. There's the songs that we sing. May the Lord help us. So this new song is a desire or a will or a pleasure to praise our God. And before the new man, we sing about things that pleased or excited the flesh or the lust of the flesh. But now that we are living in the newness of life, we have a new spirit within us. We have a new song to sing, amen. And that song is even praise unto our God. What a blessing. Now, come back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're still in verse number 10. Colossians chapter 3, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you about this verse. I think the depth of this seemingly simple verse goes much deeper than most of us can ever even comprehend. When this new man, when you put on this new man, there is a renewed knowledge. We've talked about the newness of life. We've talked about a new spirit. We've talked about a new song. And here the Bible says that you're renewed in knowledge. And this knowledge, you're renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Meaning that the new man is seeking knowledge of the one that created him. You know, I never had a desire to read the Bible till I got born again. And the Peter talks about desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Where did that come from? It came from that newness of life, that new man, that new creature, that new creation. It had a new diet. Amen. Now, I've read numerous commentaries. I don't know how many different commentaries I read concerning this passage of Scripture and different ideas about this verse. But I'm going to try to just do what I wasn't satisfied with in them. I'm not saying they were right or wrong. I couldn't get much understanding out of them. Certainly couldn't get no peace out of them. So I'm just going to do what I always try to do, and that's just run Scripture. And so come to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Man, you want to talk about a psalm that puts some light onto that topic. David is writing a penitential psalm. It's a plea for forgiveness in Psalm 51 because of some gross immorality in his life. And look what he says. I can't read the whole psalm. I'll get preaching on that psalm and we'll never get back in Colossians because what a great passage of Scripture. Well, I'm thankful that the Lord is merciful and kind and long-suffering and willing to forgive and to create within us a new heart. So that's what David said. Look at verse number 10, Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now look at this. And renew a right spirit within me. Now, you remember we talked about we had a new spirit. After David sinned, he pleaded with God to renew a right spirit within him. So, obviously, David's spirit was not right, or he would not have committed the sins that he committed. Can I just be really honest with you for just a moment? I want you to be honest with yourself. You know when your spirit's not right. And I know when my spirit is not right. And when my spirit is not right, and when your spirit is not right, we're in a very dangerous place. Because it is in those times that you're liable to involve yourself in something that you would not otherwise involve yourself in. And that's exactly what happened to David. And so he's figured this thing out. Nathan has come to him and said, look, thou art the man. And so David is repenting, and what a great psalm of repentance it is. And he says, create in me a clean heart. Now, there's a lot in these verse comparisons, but we that are born again are created in him. We're in Christ Jesus. We're a new creature. And David is pleading with God to create with him in him a clean heart. You ever got to the place in your life where you felt the need, saw the need, that, Lord, I need a clean heart. I need to be renewed in my spirit. I need a clean heart. I'm glad the Lord would do that for you, amen. I want to say this. Just look at the verse again, verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and, continuation, renew a right spirit within me. Listen, if you're not willing to get your heart clean, I don't think you're going to have a right spirit. David said, I need a clean heart. And if I can get my heart clean, I can get a right spirit again. I don't know about you. I come in contact with people all the time. You don't have to talk with them very long before you realize they don't have a right spirit. They're bitter. There's no joy of the Lord in their heart. They're not satisfied with anything and anybody but themselves. Before salvation, our knowledge was earthly, worldly, even fleshly, but God renewed our knowledge. We see that in our text in Colossians, to be after him that created us. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In fact, he has made unto us wisdom. I like that. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 30. Some of you will be praying I'm preaching revival again next week. Got a couple more weeks. In fact, he has made unto us wisdom. Look at verse number 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, we've already learned this. We're a new creation. We're in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according to it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I want to tell you, this crowd that has this mentality or this idea, I can claim the name of Christ, and I can continue to just live as wickedly and ungodly as I want to. You can't prove that from the Bible. There's some things that has taken place in your life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. I'm not saying you can't fall back into that. I want to tell you this. If you are saved and you live like that, you are the most unhappy person in the world. There is no way to have the joy of the Lord if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus and you're still chasing the things of this world and wickedness and ungodliness. You're the most miserable human being there's ever been. You get a Christian that's on the wrong side of a fellowship with the Lord and his fellow man, you've never met a man more miserable. And his entire goal is to make everyone around him as miserable as he is. There are a dime a dozen. I meet them repeatedly. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I ain't never got old. Regardless of what the world does, the Lord is good to me. And I don't deserve it, amen. Now, before this renewing of our mind or knowledge, we had no idea what the will of God was for our lives. Now, come to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get on something else in a few minutes, but we ain't done with this yet. Ephesians chapter 4. I know we've already looked at this parallel passage, but let's look at it again. Look at verse 22 again. Ephesians 4. Now you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, this thing connecting the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man is the renewing of the mind. Now, is it any wonder at all why the devil and our flesh and the lust of our eyes and the pride of our life and every ungodly thing in this world is fighting for the possession and the control of our mind? Because the thing that's connecting this putting off the old man and putting on the new man is the renewing of our mind. I'm afraid so much of our time is spent with our mind on things that have nothing to do with the Lord or the things of God. We need to allow the Lord access and complete control of our minds. Now, in these verses, we saw renewed knowledge, a renewed spirit, a renewing of our mind, and a renewing of the spirit of our mind. I just wonder how many of us could just use a good spiritual renewing. Come back to Colossians chapter 3. There's a Bible word for people. We hear the term all the time. They're rededicating their life. I think it's a renewing of your mind and spirit. That's biblical. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Verse number 11. Where there is neither Jew, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, in this verse, Paul points out that all the distinctions having to do with race, religion, creed, background, all of those things are wiped out. All those things are taken care of in the creation of the new man. In fact, in this verse, there are four pairs of people or religious categories that are total opposites before the day of grace. Look at this. First of all, we see the national distinction. This is between the Greek, which is the Gentile, and the Jew. However, during this day of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ is also to the Gentile. I want to ask you to turn there, because you know the verse, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So I'm glad the gospel is for whosoever will. And so then there's the religious distinction. There's the circumcision or the uncircumcision. And we certainly know that the circumcision belonged to the Jewish world. It was a seal of a covenant that they had with God concerning a fleshly covenant or an earthly covenant. And the uncircumcision pertained to non-Israel, that is the world beyond the chosen seed who are not the elect of God concerning religious blessings. In fact, those uncircumcised, those who were in uncircumcision, which would have been us, were known as Gentile dogs. I'm glad we can get in on it, aren't you? Barbarian and Scythian. This is applied to the whole world beyond Israel. And in Paul's day, these people were considered to be at the bottom of the scale of humanity. But praise the Lord, it doesn't matter what level you're on. The gospel is for whosoever. Now, I'll say it again, it's for whosoever will, amen. And then there's the social distinction. We see the bond and the free. Now, these are talking about or speaking about social distinctions. This was very common, unfortunately, during Paul's ministry, still common in many places around the world today. And I'm not talking about being in prison or out of prison. Thank the Lord for many people who are behind bars who have gotten saved there. But this is speaking of people who were either a bond slave or a free person. It doesn't matter what kind of restrictions man puts upon you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can reach you. And if you'll believe that gospel, you can be saved. Amen. That's a great blessing. So the gospel is for everyone. Now, let's look at the verse again. We're still in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, regardless of where you and I fit in this vast range of different individuals that the Bible speaks of here in this passage of Scripture, when we are born again, when they are born again, It is Christ in all, or Christ is all and in all. That regardless of the color of your skin, the religious practices that you may have had prior in your life, or that you grew up with, or that you was indoctrinated with, or your background, you may have been a savage, you may have been civilized, you may have been rich or poor, educated or uneducated, you may have been free, you may have been in some type of bondage, it didn't make any difference, whatever it is. At the moment of salvation, we became one in Christ Jesus. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And can I just say, for some of those super critical religious people, I absolutely hate discrimination. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. It doesn't matter what color you are. None of that stuff makes any difference whatsoever. You get cut, your blood bleeds red because you have the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ placed in your veins. And if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be born again. Amen. Now, I understand, when we get saved, our nationality doesn't change. I get that. A Gentile doesn't become a Jew. A Jew doesn't become a Gentile. But I'll tell you what, we should put away those nationalities and celebrate the fact that we are Christian. We are in Christ Jesus. See, there's a whole lot of... We've got. I don't know what has happened to our country. We've turned to a conservative Christianity. No, you can be conservative and not know anything about Jesus. You can be conservative and claim a few things about Jesus and still be far from Him. You can be conservative and know Jesus. But just because you're a conservative does not mean you're a Christian. Oh, well. I'm upset about some things. But not about the Lord. I'm telling you, He's good to us. I'll tell you, the devil had came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's in religion. I want to remind you of something. He's in religion. Your stinking, rotten flesh will cause you to lust and gamble and drink and all that kind of stuff. Satan came to deceive you. He deceived millions of people this past Sunday. And, well, I ain't going. I believe the Bible still teaches that you'll have a changed life if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And, you know, well, maybe they're babes in Christ. Well, I hope they're born again. I really do. I hope every one of them know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I don't think you'll be out there committing sex acts, moving lewdly and ungodly and wickedly, and singing lyrics that you would blush if you heard someone say such a thing to you. And then they mention the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden they're Christians. Hogwash. I think it's Ricky. What's Ricky's? Ricky used to work with him. Ricky. Cotham, he says, this is what he, hogwash and pickle juice. And that's about what I think about it, amen. Oh, well, I had none of that is in my notes. I had no desire to get off on any of that stuff. But if you want to know how I feel about it, now you know, amen. All right, where was we? We're in Colossians chapter 3, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. And by the way, I didn't watch any of it. Either one. I told somebody the other day, I don't have to listen to the news. 100 people is going to tell me. I don't have to listen to the weather. 100 people is going to tell me. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I didn't watch either one of the halftime shows. I didn't have to. 100 people told me all about every side. All right, now that that's settled, I thought about that after I made some comments about it. I'm like, I didn't watch that mess. Are you kidding me? Colossians chapter 3. If you watched it, that's between you and the Lord. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. So in Jesus, that is in His body, the church, there's no physical limitations of race or social status. All men and women are alike, have the same standing. We are His in Christ Jesus. Now, come to Galatians chapter 3. Some of you got a little upset at me there, didn't you? I still love you. I don't have to. You know what? I have the ability to disagree with you and love you just like I did before we disagreed. Colossians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I've mentioned that before. I wanted to read you another verse. So I want you to remember that these distinctions, though non-existent as far as Christ, they're unseen. He doesn't see those distinctions. But they're very obvious to you and I in the local church. We see all of those differences. So may the Lord help us to never get a bitter heart of discrimination. Now, Colossians chapter 3. I know some Christians who are very prejudice. They're very prejudiced. I have a hard time with that. Verse number 12. I know some preachers who are prejudiced. I don't fellowship with them much either. Man, I don't know what is wrong with me. It's good to be home, amen. Preaching for the last, had a good time preaching in a great meeting, but preaching in a big church, nervous, and felt like I was an underachiever. Maybe it's just good to have some liberty. Verse number 12, Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now we're talking about this new man, this new creation, this new creature, this renewed in knowledge, this renewed spirit, renewed mind. It'll spill over into some things that are very pleasing to God. And having already seen in this chapter some things that we're to put off, and we're not going to go back and review those. You can read verses 5 through 9 if you'd like to. We're seeing now a continuation of some things that we're to put on. I want to deal with this little phrase here for just a moment. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Let's talk about this. I'm not going to talk about it a great deal, but I want you to know that there are several things in the Bible that are mentioned as elect or as elect of God. And I want you to understand the distinction between them. The term elect is referred to the nation of Israel. And you can see that in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 4. Prophetically, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 1. But the third application of it is found in Paul's writing, and it has to do with believers. We see that here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. And you can see that again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. And so our new birth has allowed us to be called the elect of God. We were not elected to be saved, but because we are saved, we are now the elect of God. And if you look at the verse, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So we are in the eyes of God, holy and beloved. Now, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, there's a new expectation. When you just imagine that before salvation, wickedly, ungodly, we were following the lust of our father, and the Bible said, and the lust of our flesh, we would do them just all kind of ungodliness and wickedness. We could read in the Bible how that before salvation, how that we were perceived, how that we were seen, how that we were, are. And now that we're saved, we are considered the elect of God, and it is automatically expected that we are holy and beloved. Can you not see that there's a distinction between the old man and the new man? And because of this new man that is the elect of God, he's holy and beloved, we are to put on some graces that represent our Savior, who is now our Heavenly Father. And here's what those graces are: bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Now, I know, I run into folks sometimes, they have this mentality, this attitude. They say, "Preacher, that's just not who I am. That's not how I was raised. I can't have that kind of attitude or that kind of behavior." Listen, you can if you've experienced a new birth. You are a new creature. You're a new creation. You're not that man anymore. It doesn't matter how you was raised. It don't matter how you was taught. It don't matter what your attitude was before. It doesn't matter what your spirit was before. You have a renewed spirit. You have a renewed knowledge. You're a new man. You're an elect of God. You're holy and beloved. There's got to be some change there. Amen. Now we can see from these verses that if we're truly in Christ Jesus, there's a change. Now this is very, very similar. Hold your place here and come to Galatians chapter 5. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Paul basically said the same thing in Galatians chapter 5 when he was talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Look what he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is. So, you see that? The S, capital S, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? All right, the fruit of that Spirit. Look up here. Not you. If you are born again and the Spirit of God lives within you, the fruit of that Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You know, this is speaking of the things that's been put off. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. I think I could not believe, I got back to, it's been a few days since I've been in Colossians. I've been studying other things, preaching other things, and I got back to Colossians today, and I was going over, I had already prepared most of the sermon already, and I was going over it again, added stuff to it, and I thought, man, what a blessing that all of these verses and all these, for just such a time as this, God gives us this reminder from the Bible. And so this modern day Christianity that mentions the name of Jesus and continues to live a life in and promote sin and immorality is not a biblical Christianity. A biblical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ results in a new relationship to right or towards right and wrong. And we know that to be the truth. Having put off the deeds of the flesh, verses 8 and 9, we now are now commanded to put on these new deeds and this new character. Now, come back to Colossians chapter 3. We'll read one more verse and I'll be done. I won't be done. I'll quit. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 13. So let me read verse number 12 with it. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We could go through each one of those and spend a great deal of time preaching about all of those. And we might should do that. We've done it before. Verse number 13, look what it says. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I'm going to give you some Bible stuff about these verses, about this verse, and we're going to talk about it for just a minute. I'm just going to be real blunt with something right fast. If you can't forgive, your heart's not right with God. If you are unwilling to forbear one another, and if you're unwilling to forgive another, you might as well find your place on an altar and get you a clean heart and a renewed spirit. Because you're dead in the water till you do. You're going to go through the motions. You're going to look religious. You're going to endure church. You're going to endure Bible preaching. You're going to mope through prayer time. You're going to sing good hymns about the Lord Jesus Christ without a tear in your eye and without a shout in your soul, all because your heart is dirty. our previous verse, we learned that we are to put on bowels of mercy, humility, meekness, kindness, and long-suffering. We're now exhorted to add to that list forbearing and forgiving one another. Now, come to John chapter 16. Listen, I want to tell you something about this life, Christian life or non-Christian life. There will be offenses. People will offend you. People will rub you the wrong way. People will cause you trouble. People will cause you problems. People will go out of their way to cause you problems. People will do a U-turn and come back and cause you another problem. It's just life. You can get mad about it, or you can accept it as a reality and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than all of that. And look what Jesus said. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Do you get that? Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, it is possible for you to have peace. In the world ye shall. Don't miss that word. Not might, not could, not maybe. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation. You may not have had it today, you may not have had it yesterday, there's a good possibility you'll have it tomorrow. If you had it yesterday and you had it today, there's a good possibility you could have it again tomorrow. If you've had a good week and you hadn't had any opposition, look out, friend, the truck is coming. And it's going to be loaded. And they're going to dump it in your lap. But Jesus said, you can have peace. There may be a time, and there has been in my life, there may be a time when the offense is just, meaning that you deserve it. Have you ever deserved it? I've deserved it. If that's the case, listen carefully. If that is the case, we have no grounds whatsoever to permit resentment or to retaliate. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to fight our battles for us. It's very difficult to love some people, but those that we find it impossible to love in and of ourselves, if we will allow the Lord Jesus Christ, He will help us love them through us. Some people it's hard to get along with, man. Some people it's hard to deal with. I get it. I'm not up here up on no kind of pedestal. I get it. I want to tell you, Christ Jesus loved the worst of the worst. He died, He gave His life and shed His blood for people you wouldn't give the time of day to. And He did it gladly. For the joy that was set before me, He said, I endured the cross, despising the shame. Man, we haven't arrived. Christ is our example in forgiving one another. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I know it's almost, it's 10 till 9. Just give me a little bit more time. It's February the, what is today? February the 11th. I've preached in this pulpit one time this month. That's pitiful. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. If you can't be kind to one another, your heart's not right with God. Tender-hearted. If you're hard-hearted, rebellious, you need to get right with the Lord. Forgiving one another. And here's our example. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If we're not kind and tender-hearted, the reason I made mention of that, if you're not kind and tender-hearted, it's not likely that you're going to be forgiving. I
I have down here on my notes, and I probably should go and read them, but I'll tell you the story, because you know it. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, Peter asked Jesus a question in verse 21, and then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's not just for you to do the math and figure out how many times that is. The implication there is as many times as it takes. And so he proceeds with a parable, and he tells about a servant who owed, I can't remember exactly what it is now, I'm trying, 10,000 talents. And he came and he asked the Lord to forgive him, and the Lord forgave him of all of his debt. And that same servant went out to his fellow servant who owed him a very small amount. Let me see if I can find 10. So the servant that came to Jesus and was forgiven of 10,000 talents. To that same man, his servant came unto him and owed him 100 pence. That ain't a 32nd of what he owed and was forgiven. And that servant would not forgive his servant, had him put in prison. And you and I think about that and say, well, how in the world could anybody act like that? And then we act like that. The Lord has forgiven you of a truckload of sin today. Today. Not to mention your lifetime. And then somebody does one little thing, or even if they do two or five or ten, as they did in this parable things, and then you're ready to just chunk them to the side. You need a clean heart. And you need a renewed spirit, amen. Jesus is our example of forgiveness. Not only is he as our example for forgiveness, he's also our example for suffering. We see that in 1 Peter, but we won't turn there. So whatever it is that someone has done to you, whatever it is that someone has done to me, I promise you it doesn't compare to what we've done to Christ. And he still loves us. What a blessing. Father, thank you for the Bible, for the opportunity to look at a few verses tonight. Oh, Lord, I sure do need you. Our country needs you. Our homes, our family needs you. Our churches need you. Lord, we've gone far, far, far away from God as a nation. I know that nothing's too hard or too impossible for our God, but sometimes I think that the damage that's done is irreversible. Lord, we sure do need your help. If we don't have any strong homes, we're not going to have strong churches. Without strong churches, we won't have strong communities. Lord, those things just roll over and over. We'll never have strong homes without strong, dedicated individuals. I can't change the world, but I can change me. Please, please help me, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.